Thank you for coming, guys. That mute button always gets me. I don't know what that's all about. It's that tricky mute button. Welcome, everybody. What a joy it is to sing with you guys. You know, we do have a lot of food. You may have noticed that. So be sure and help yourselves to more throughout the night here. I just want to share a few thoughts. I've asked a couple of brothers to share as well what God's been teaching them. But first, I just want to walk through maybe kind of a review, if you will, for our men's night for the year. And I just wonder, by a show of hands, is this your first men's night? Anybody first timer? Yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I'm thankful that, Steele, that you changed up that song because I Love You, Lord's just very near and dear to my heart. I've sang that song in some really difficult times in my life, so it always just is very, very tender to my heart. But I just wanted to just kind of run back through some things and touch base and just, you know, there's something special when this men come together to pursue Jesus. Something special happens. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit moves. I believe right in this moment God is changing us when we come together, when we pursue Him. I mean, you guys didn't have to come here. I know you heard about the food, so that's a draw. But more than that, the Lord wants you here. I think there's real value in it. So I just want to, this was our theme verse for the year. And even the first three words, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, that just seems overwhelming to me. You know, ever since I was young, people told me I should eat right and exercise, and I still don't do that. But you can hear this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and yeah, let's do that. You know, we really have to lean into that. We really have to pursue the Lord for that to actually happen, for us to be capable of doing that. The Holy Spirit has to move in us. As men, we need to position ourselves to be able to hear from the Lord, to read His Word, to be with other people that love Jesus. And that's kind of my charge tonight. I just want to encourage all of you, be with people that love Jesus. Have at least one man in your life that loves Jesus, that you spend time with intentionally to pursue Jesus. At least one man. I think it's absolutely critical, and I just challenge you to be men that find yourself with people that love Jesus. It'll bless your heart. I like this quote from Dave Hunt. He said, if loving God with one's whole being is the greatest commandment, then not to do so must be the greatest sin, indeed the root of all sin. It's either we're doing it or we're not. And I think that's so true. I see it all the time. And you guys probably do. You meet someone new and you think, this person must know Jesus because their countenance is just different. This verse from the Apostle Paul, I've shared this before in the church, but I love Apostle Paul's heart. He really cared for men and women, but he really said, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And, you know, that would be my heart, that we would be men that would have just a simple, pure and sincere devotion to the Lord. Amen. And the way we do that is we're in rooms like this where people love Jesus, where we're singing together. When's the last time you were in a room and you heard a bunch of men sing to Jesus? Last every man's Monday. In church, certainly, but we need to position ourselves. And that was Paul's concern in this verse. He was concerned about the people he was discipling. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived, that you would too if you slip away from that simple devotion to the Lord. So we need to be men to keep that in place. So we had five teachings throughout the year. Caleb kicked us off with prayer. I don't know if you remember that. But I want to encourage all of you. I went back through. If you go to our website, you can go to special messages, and it has our men's rock on there. And I went back through and I listened to all of them again, and it blessed my heart. I would encourage you to do that, because your brothers, I believe the Holy Spirit taught through our men this year. And just to be refreshed by that, it's a great drive to work type of thing, or if you work at home and you're at your desk, you need to listen to things, listen to those messages again. There's just five of them, and they're each about a half hour. But Caleb kicked us off. I don't know if you remember that, but Caleb, I thought you did a great job just helping us lean into prayer. Sometimes that's just something we can say, but it just escapes us. So we constantly need to be reminded, be men of prayer, be men of prayer, be men of prayer, be men of prayer. Because we just miss it. At least I do. I get distracted. Squirrel over here, this over there, that over there. We need to be men and women of prayer. Caleb shared this verse. I think it's a great verse from Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. May we be men who call on the Lord day in, day out. Work that muscle. Lean in. Be in position before the Lord. This quote is kind of sobering, I think, from Charles Spurgeon. He didn't really mince words in a lot of ways. It says, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body like a rotting bone or a decayed tooth. Before long, since he does not contribute to the benefit of his brethren, he will become a danger and a sorrow to them. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. And, you know, I haven't been around that long, but I do see that. When prayer is gone, there's just a power that the Lord's not in it. missions trips or doing church week in, week out. We pray for each other, the pastors do. I would encourage you, pray for your pastors when they're teaching. You think the enemy likes what's happening with everything, with what he's doing here, the spirit moving? We need to be men. I would just ask you to pray for us, pray for your wives, pray for your children. We need to be men and women who pray. And then Josh came through with the heart, and I thought he did a great job. This is the verse that he used, and he said, the heart is the engine that drives us. I like that. I thought that was a good thought from Josh. And this verse, it just stands alone. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible that talk about the heart. Guard your heart above all else. That's how important it is. Guard your heart above all else. In the world we live in, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We need to be men that guard our heart. Then Brian came and taught on the soul. And this verse, it says, is anything worth more than the soul? Is anything worth more than the soul? Brian quoted this quote from C.S. Lewis, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. Just all of you, all of your soul. Are you positioning yourself towards the Lord with your heart and your soul? You know, kind of a funny thing about this is I couldn't get to mind the song I'm a Soul Man out of my head. And I was wondering why Brian didn't use that. So I went online and I just got down with Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi to that song, and it's just classic. And Brian, I'm surprised you didn't use that. But, you know, I make fun of it, but boy, this is our life. This is our time. This is, you know, the clock is ticking. Time is slipping through. Some of us aren't as young as we used to be. Someone told me this even earlier that they saw a picture of me with just a black mustache, and that seems like such a long time ago. But God was so kind to put me in a group of people that loved the Lord. So over all these years, we keep getting together. I keep trying to be with people that love Jesus. And I just want, that's who I want to be with. I need that protection. I need that shelter. And I just recommend that to all of you. I charge that. Be with men who love Jesus so you can go the distance. And there's protection in this. Protection in the family of Christ. And I've tapped into it a number of times. I've been down on my face, and you guys helped me. You helped me. If I wouldn't have been in a body of believers like this, I'd have been on my own. I don't know if I would have made it. And one day you may need to lean on the brothers. And that's the beauty of having a family of brothers. Amen. And Bill talked on strength. I think that's a good one for Bill. He's the hardest working guy I know. But I really appreciate what he had to say. He taught us how to avoid five strength slayers. And it was really good. I hope you wrote them down. He said the strength slayers, things to avoid, things to not do, is have no clear purpose, have an unbalanced schedule, have unconfessed sin, unresolved conflict, undernourished spiritually. Avoid all that because it'll harm you. Lean into the things. Let the Lord help you. Let him build you up. Let him grow your faith. Pursue him with all you are. You know, I've seen the example that Bill showed with his dad building that house underground. And Bill was in high school and drew a drawing of a house, underground house. Do you guys remember that? Did you see that picture and all that cut wood behind? For I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. I also know that Bill loves Jesus, and that's why I like being around him, and I have for all these years. We've been in Utah 23 years last May 1st. God's doing a lot in our lives, and I was thinking, I was going to talk to Bill about that. I was wondering if he could draw up some plans. We could call it the underground church, and like out in the lawn here, we'd put like 10 feet of dirt over it. Maybe not that quite that. We could have the underground church, and we could dig a tunnel over to the track station. We wouldn't have to worry about parking. Bill, draw it up, man. Look at all these diggers. Look at all these guys, man. We could all shovel it out bucket by bucket. If God would have us do that, we'd do it. If God would have us do that, we'd do it. We're positioned. The Lord is moving. You might think this is just fun to be along for the ride. Something is going on. God is moving. It's exciting. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's not going to just have us hang around and eat pie. There's much to do for the Lord. People are falling off the edge. People are going to hell. They're missing it. Lots of people all around us. And the Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And finally, Steele took us through, love the Lord your God with all your mind. That's so hard for me. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. You know, he challenged us to commit to know Jesus and know truth by loving God with all your mind. You know, he intimated that he's scatterbrained, but his mind is beautiful. The Lord has just gripped Steele's mind, and I just enjoy being with him. I love this verse. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. It just does. It just does. There's no good in it. Letting your sinful mind control you leads to death. Been there, done that, died. We need to be men that die to ourselves. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You know, in a lot of ways, our minds can be derailed with the social sewage that a lot of us have to wade through. It's just, you know, I find myself on Instagram looking at, what am I looking at? It's just, there it is. Lord, help us. We need to be men that would say, no, I don't need this. I'll get off of that. I don't need that. Take that extreme of measures. You don't need it to disrupt your marriage and your life and your kids and your career and everything else. Your mind's out of control. It will derail you. I like this quote. I think it's really good. Consider it. Without doubt, the mightiest thought the mind can entertain is the thought of God. I like that. One last verse here, and then I'm going to ask a couple of brothers to come up here and share. It's Isaiah 66:2. I like the New Living Translation for this one. My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. May we be men like that. May we be men like that so the women in our church are safe, so they feel safe, so our church is more than we could ever imagine. So God continues doing things. Oh my goodness, 20 baptisms, 20 salvations on Easter. God is just doing special things, but we need to be men that are paying attention. That we give God all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our soul. And we need the Lord to help us with that. We can't do it on our own. But that's just what I want to leave you with tonight. The position and posture, God has to do it, but it's by the grace of God that we can step into loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul. You have to be positioned in prayer, in His Word, and with people who love Jesus. Outside of that, I just don't know if there's hope for you. It's just that brutal. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. I've tried it. You can do nothing.